Hello and welcome to the Flix Forum podcast, where each episode we go back and we look at a Netflix original film in the order of release. This is a special bonus episode. We're jumping out of order to discuss a recent Netflix film from 2024. It's the comedy directed by Jerry Seinfeld called Unfrosted. It stars Jerry Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, and Amy Schumer. I'm your host, I'm Jesse. Thanks for jumping on to listen to this episode. As always, if this is a film you haven't quite seen yet and you're keen to have it not spoiled for you, give us a pause and come back a little bit later on, because this film is, there's not an awful lot to spoil in it apart from an awful lot of cameos, but yeah, we will spoil it. So give us a pause, come back, because we kick off the show with the Fast Flicks, where we do a quick little summary of what the film is all about. So this one, it's an unfunny look at the battle between Kellogg's and Post to make a breakfast pastry. Oops, I was I added a little bit of my opinion into my Fast Flicks. Don't usually do that, but maybe that's where I'm heading with my thoughts towards this one. I'm keeping a positive attitude, positive mindset. Let's see where we go. We like to look at how this one ended up on Netflix. So the film is loosely based, very loosely, I'll put it at that, on the true story of the creation of Pop-Tarts toaster pastries. Jerry Seinfeld, he loves breakfast cereals. Apparently, I haven't seen his stand-up shows, but in his stand-up work, he does a lengthy Pop-Tart reference, so this is where he's got the idea from. Seinfeld did say that the idea for the movie grew out of how ridiculous it was to envisage men in suits sitting around having a serious boardroom meeting about cereal. He said, "We love the idea of grown-up men in suits talking about cereal all day. The silliness of how they look and what they talk about just seemed like a fantastic world to be in." We go to June of 2021, where it was announced that Netflix had won the rights to the project. Jerry Seinfeld would direct, produce, co-write, and star in the film, which is obviously based on that joke. In June of 2022, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Amy Schumer, Hugh Grant, and James Marsden were among additions to the cast. And Hugh Grant provided an audition tape for Seinfeld, being the first time he'd done this in over 30 years. So Hugh Grant obviously very keen to be in this film. We go to August of 2022, where Maria Bakalova was announced for a cameo appearance. And in Feb of 2024, it was revealed that Bill Burr and Dan Levy had joined the cast too. The production was granted a tax credit to film in California in Feb of 2022, with filming beginning in May of 2022 and in LA and ran until July of that year. Filming also took place at the University of California as well. In November of 2022, Seinfeld did tell the press that Netflix executives were watching the final cut of the movie for the first time, with a projected release in early 2023. This obviously didn't materialize. Jim Gaffigan, he appeared at the Golden Globe Awards in Jan of 2024 as a part of promotion for this film. Little side note here, I guess Meghan Trainor and Jimmy Fallon, they actually provide a song over the credits called Sweet Morning Heat, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later too. The film, it did premiere at Grauman's Egyptian Theatre in Hollywood on April 30, 2024. That's Netflix's theatre in Hollywood. And it was released on Netflix worldwide from May 3rd, 2024. Pop-Tarts, what's their comments on the film? They said that the film, it's farce, not fact, and called it the ultimate flattery and the biggest fan fiction ever. Pop-Tarts have even, you know, capitalized on this attention that the film is bringing by creating a limited edition unfrosted strawberry trot pop, which include, like, it's got the packaging and it's got Jerry Seinfeld on the front and the backwards spelling typo that of trot pop that we see in the film too. Netflix has also partnered with Pop-Tarts to create more cross promotions on social media and in print media. So, and Pop-Tarts getting in on this, even though this film isn't endorsed by Kellogg's or their subsidiaries at all too. What else can we think about this film? So translations around the world. So the English title, Unfrosted, because it's obviously Pop-Tarts come frosted now. In this film, it's just about creating the Pop-Tarts, and they do make a joke about what if we added frosting. So that's what the title's about. In French, it's called the Pop-Tart Epic. In Hungarian, it's called Without Icing. I like that literal translation. In Italian, it's called The Story of an American Snack. Spanish, it's called Unglazed. And in Turkish, it's called Crazy Breakfast. The working title was Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story. The tagline for this one, a Pop-Tart will rise. What a horrendous tagline. Ridiculous. What a crap. Like, no thought or effort put into that at all. Come on, Jerry Seinfeld. You're meant to be clever. I mentioned before, let's talk about the critics and the audiences. What are they saying about this film? Rotten Tomatoes, like, obviously, this is only a couple of days since the film's been out, but it sits at 42% on 66 reviews from critics. That is rotten. The audience has it a little bit higher at 50%. That's on more than 250 ratings. Like IMDb, only nearly 6,000 ratings, sits at a 5.6 out of 10. So not too bad, I guess. Letterboxd, low, 2.3 out of 5 on over 10,000 ratings. And Metacritic, similar to Rotten Tomatoes, the critics have it at 41 out of 100 on 26 reviews. That is yellow in the middle ground of that traffic light system. And the audience has it at a 5.3 on 275 reviews. That is yellow as well. So mediocre would be the best way of putting it. What are my early thoughts on this film? This is close to one of the most unwatchable things I've seen in a long time. I had to keep pausing it because I was like, I don't think I can keep going. It's like Netflix used their Adam Sandler model and said, hey, here's whatever money you need, get all your friends together and do what you want. And this is worse than most of the stuff Sandler has done. At least Sandler's work has some heart in it. This has no heart whatsoever. So very big thumbs down from me, but we'll talk about why as we go through. The cast, the characters in this film. So the film obviously revolves around Bob Cabana, played by Jerry Seinfeld. He's this employee of Kellogg's. The film starts off with a little moment where he's sitting there and he tells the kid the story, and we flash back to the 60s, and his character is loosely based on William Post, who worked at Kellogg's. We, as an audience, we know nothing about him other than his drive to be successful and being creative. And this success means that he can send his kids to college. That's it. That's all we know about the main character in a film. Like, that, to me, that's almost unforgivable. The sidekick that works with him, Donna Stankiewicz, this NASA scientist that joined Kellogg on the team, played by Melissa McCarthy, there to try and add humor, but Jerry Seinfeld wants to be funny too, but neither of them are, so that makes it really hard as well. Jim Gaffigan, he's Edsel Kellogg III. He's the head of Kellogg's. He's Bob's boss. He's inherited this company, and he doesn't want to be the first with the Kellogg's name to fail, I guess. And that's all we get from him too, apart from that he has these feelings for his opposition, played by Amy Schumer, Marjorie Post, and she's that head of the rival cereal company Post. And both of them make these comments about not being able to be together because, you know, a Post can't be with a Kellogg. That's all. Like, that's it. I mean, we have Hugh Grant plays the Tony the Tiger. I think his name was Thurl Ravenscroft. That was actually a real person. We've got these dumpster kids that dive dumpsters to eat the leftovers from the factories. They're probably the best performers in the whole film. In the credits, they introduce them as, like, you know, what we used to see in films when the younger cast were starting in their first role. So they've probably got a career. Not many other people in this film do. James Marsden, the last one I'll touch on. And this is probably true to a lot of the cameos that we see, but he plays this muscular, dumb eye candy. We've seen it before. We've seen these types of roles before. The same as Hugh Grant's role as Tony the Tiger. It's nothing new. So a little bit frustrating. The director, Jerry Seinfeld. Everyone knows Jerry Seinfeld. Especially stand-up work, sitcom work, the TV show. Apart from some stand-up specials and that Netflix show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, this is his feature debut. So interesting. I don't know whether this is a path that he wants to continue with. I'm very intrigued. We're going to talk about some scenes. What are some scenes that I liked? What didn't I like? We're going to start. What did I like? So there's this Breakfast Cereal Awards, which, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous, but they have this in memoriam section where they talk about the cereals that we lost in the past 12 months, and not bad. Like, they had like the Wilt Chamberlakes and Grandma's Holes. That was funny. That was humorous. And the other thing I liked was John Hamm. We have a Mad Men ripoff scene. That was funny. That was clever. The rest of it, unfortunately, is going to be stuff I didn't like. So I'm almost just going to list it. I don't even want to spend the time to give context around the scenes. If you've seen the film, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Snap, Crackle, and Pop. They were lame. Just like space fillers. Not funny. Not needed. Post at the award ceremony. You know, she walks in, makes this big, big entrance, and she makes some joke about a surprise in a box. Gross. The Quaker dude. Every time we saw him, not funny ever, ever, ever. You know, Jerry Seinfeld, we know that he's sort of come out recently about, you know, political correctness killing comedy. And there's this line about, you know, they call someone hobos, and he's like, you can't call them anymore. They're bums. Not funny. The news reporter that we see in black and white so many times cutting to tell us what's going on in the world, just lame jokes. The janitor joke about using this big camera and his mop to spy. Okay, maybe that's a little bit funny, but then they do the cross-reference of the same thing happening in the other office, and it just didn't work. The tuna can product that clears the room out. Not funny. Like, it's almost like childish sort of humor. That they decide, you know, we see Kellogg and Kellogg and Bob and Melissa McCarthy's character. They're like, cool, let's have a bowl of cereal to sort of think. And they just have this big rotating cereal distributor machine and, you know, the milk. And like, it was just like, cool. It looks cool. Why? That UniVac computer that they get on board to like be a, you know, try to create the new product. Just not funny. They have an underground meeting in a basement between all the cereal heads. Like, it's all, there's all these little references to films that, you know, and stuff. But why are you putting us in that situation? What's the reason behind it? Donna and Bob, they go to Puerto Rico to get sugar and they turn it into like, let's pretend the sugar's like a drug deal. It just didn't work, as well as there's this ventriloquist that they pull out and then the ventriloquist gets the doll gets shot. Not funny. The ravioli with sea monkeys in it, just this little digital ravioli that jumps around everywhere. Not funny. We'd see, you know, obviously I said Donna and Bob go to Puerto Rico to do sugar. So Post goes to Russia to get sugar. And, you know, they just make the Russian president into an absolute sleaze. And there's like a reference about, you know, he can give him the sugar if she has sex with him. Come on. This is 2024. And I know you're trying to show a film from the 60s, but come on. Tyrion Lannister rocks up as a cameo. Is the head of the milkmen. And he makes Bob, this is one of the worst scenes in the film, makes Bob walk through a barn of cows so the cows can all fart on him. Like, how mature? And then this is enough to have this like sort of emotional moment where Bob's like, this is enough for me. I want to give up on making Pop-Tarts. Come on. Not funny. This really frustrated me. JFK, like all of the scenes and the jokes they made about JFK, I was like, you know, and there's references about his lines about, you know, what I can do for you, not what blah, blah, blah. And the audacity to have these twins come in for him. And then they make reference later in the film that they're pregnant. Like, why pick on JFK? Like, I don't understand. It just wasn't funny. A lot of people like this scene, I think. The funeral, there's a funeral scene. And it, to me, it was just woeful. They have this casket that goes into the ground. They drop cereal and milk on the casket. And all the mascots come across and pay their respects. And they slice banana on it. Just not funny. Towards the end, the mascots, they want to fight back and get a better wage. And we have this scene where it's almost like they're ripping off the January 6th, Capitol, storming of the headquarters. It just didn't work. The German dude, I don't even remember his name. He was one of the experimenter dudes for the new products. He's got all these World War II references that don't land. And finally, the end, that we have this check-in on what everyone's doing after the film. All really lame, like the robots in Vietnam, the milkmen were involved in JFK's assassination on the grassy knoll. Like, come on. Like, I don't know. I just felt like as an audience member, I was just not given any respect whatsoever. So really frustrated for me. Themes, ideas. What was this film trying to say? Not much, really. Like, it was trying to be funny, but it wasn't funny. They used the Cold War and the space race and Russians to sort of show what's going off in the 60s and that idea of capitalism and corporate greed, possibly, and that idea that, you know, Kellogg's and Post as businesses are trying to get to the shelf first and they'll do anything to do that. And that's probably all I could really take seriously out of this film, apart from the set design. The set design, it's quite good, and the soundtrack as well. I really like the songs. The 60s songs are great. They probably spent a lot of money on them. Like, you know, I think there was like, you know, Can't Take My Eyes Off You and Do the Twist was in there, as well as Spirit in the Sky. So some good songs. But as I've sort of touched on, there's no character development in this film at all. And that is so frustrating. When you sit down to watch a film, you want to have some connection somewhere. And there is not one little bit of connection in this film at all. Questions, thoughts, ponderings. Well, what can I talk about this song? I think I sort of touched on this before. The credit song is written by Mark Ronson, Jerry Seinfeld, Meghan Trainor, and Jimmy Fallon, and performed by Meghan Trainor and Jimmy Fallon. Like, is this them going out and going, cool, Mark Ronson, yeah, I'm a big, big producer. This could be Oscar bait, because it's not. I mean, last year, the flaming hot, the Cheetos film, that got a nomination for best song. I can't see this happening. This is an observation that I saw on Reddit, which I thought was quite interesting. Jerry Seinfeld made his comedy from casual, real-world observations and stuff that he saw while touring and living this middle-class life. Is it true, possibly, that once he became insanely rich, that he's lost all contact with his source of humor? That is a pretty big whack, a sophisticated whack. I'm not sure, because I've never, I guess I should say Seinfeld's never really reached out to me, but I've enjoyed the B-movie. I've liked some of Seinfeld's work. This just didn't work. The last thing, do farmers milk cows for fun? Is that something that farmers do? Is that like a fun thing for them to wake up really early in the morning and go, cool, I'm going to go milk the cows? I'm not sure. All right, we're ready to wrap this up. We give the film a rating out of 5. We did a show, like there was a Netflix film way back at the start called Mascots. This sort of brings back memories of that for me. And as I've been talking about this, I've just got more and more angry about this film. So let's sum it up. I think, you know, Shuma, she's probably going to struggle to get, like, if anyone sees this, go, nah, you're not funny. I like Shuma in Train Worker. I've liked her in stuff before, but she really struggled in this. And Melissa McCarthy, I feel like she hasn't had a good, decent comedy film since Bridesmaids, possibly. And all the comedians that are playing the cameo roles, they're just like those roles we've seen in every film that they've been in. Like, this is a dumpster fire. And in the film, I'm glad that the dumpster didn't catch on fire when the kids jumped in. The Flaming Hot Cheeto film on, I think, Hulu in America and Disney Plus around the world is so much better. It has heart, as I mentioned before, a lot of the Sandler movies where he gets all his friends together. Sorry, did not like this one. This is a 1 out of 5 for me. Not great. We've got socials, we've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, and we have X, formerly known as Twitter. The question that I wanted to put on there for this episode is, what's your favorite Pop-Tart flavor? For me, it's that cookies and cream one with the frosting on the top. That's such a good flavor. If you've got one, let us know. We have a huge back catalogue, 350 plus Netflix original films that we've covered. Give us a listen, give us a like on socials if you can. We have a show out every single Monday, so get on the feed and check it out. Thanks for listening along, and I'll see you next week.